Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you get a chance, do me a big favor. Check us out at consumerguide.com. Lots of fun stuff there. New review. My review of the Nissan Rogue Rock Creek just went up. That's live. Nissan has entered the gotta have an off-road vehicle fray, and this is it. Though it's not very off-roady, honestly, but it is very nice. So check that out. In studio again.
Again.
Jill Simonillo, Managing Editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, North American Car of the Year Juror, and freelance person.
Yes, freelance person.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
This is a terrible time of year in Chicago to wear wool underwear.
It's a terrible time in Chicago to wear wool anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's today is less humid than yesterday, mm-hmm. but if I had to use like one geographical location to describe the Chicago area right now, it might be hell.
No, I actually really like this weather.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I know. I like the heat. I'm wearing pants today.
It's 130 out.
It's like maybe 100. It's like 90 something.
Yeah.
It's balmy, but
this
nice,
is the
cool
time of
breeze.
Year where everyone takes pictures of the temperature gauge in their car,
uh-huh.
which always exaggerates thing by like 10 degrees.
Well, I will tell you, I was in Indianapolis over the weekend, and I had an electric car that we're going to be talking about, and I needed to charge the vehicle
uh-huh.
at like 105 degrees outside, and it's amazing like how much slower. So cold weather affects battery
yep.
charge. The heat does as well.
I have not had much experience charging electric vehicles in extreme heat.
Yeah.
Is it as detrimental as cold?
I would say it's almost more detrimental.
Okay.
And I was trying to get charged up to 80% and it was like 45 minutes in and I was like, hey, nobody got time for that. And I was just like, and I will charge again tomorrow.
We'll talk about that vehicle in a moment.
Yeah.
But I did check before we got here and it is capable of charging very quickly. So we don't know where the bricks, maybe you know, maybe you were there, but we don't know where things started to fall down, if it was the car or the charger, but.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Hashtag Electrify America.
So 80% Electrify America then. All right. I wanted to clarify something real quick. We talked about the Mercedes-Benz E-Class All-Terrain last week.
Yes.
That is it. That's the only
okay.
wagon in the Mercedes lineup. That is the 2025 E45 4MATIC All-Terrain. It is a super sweet vehicle. I drove one a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
About 80 grand.
Mm.
It's not going to get a whole lot higher than that. It's not going to get any cheaper than that. But it is a fantastically balanced. I love that car. I'm sorry, I don't want to speak for you.
No, it was really good.
Yeah.
I posted a tech check, I think it was last week,
okay.
about that vehicle. So, yeah.
So 1.8 inches of additional ground clearance. I presume that's over the sedan because there is no base wagon.
Yeah.
Special drive modes and special wheels and tires. So it's not especially committed to the off-roading thing.
Well,
but the ground clearance is nice, especially if you live someplace snowy like Chicago, although there is no snow in Chicago right now.
No. Well, I will say it was really funny because I was kind of going through the drive modes, and I do believe there is some kind of like off-road like mode or off-road gauges or something, and I was just like, are you really going to do that to this Mercedes?
No.
I'm like, LOL.
No.
I don't think so.
So the wagon thing is interesting because Volvo has three wagons left in their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are off-roady. They call them cross-countries.
Yeah.
So the V60 and the V90, those are beautiful cars.
Yeah.
They're getting a little dated, but I really like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the V60, the smaller wagon, is still available in a plug-in hybrid form.
Yeah.
But there is no conventional non-plug-in hybrid wagon there. Audi has the A4 and A6 all-roads.
Right.
So also off-roady, plus the RS6 Avant, which I really love to drive, high-performance version of the wagon. But there is no base conventional wagon there. And then BMW just added, did you drive this at the rally? The M5 Touring.
I did not.
I think that's the only wagon in the BMW lineup.
Okay.
So wagons are kind of gone.
Yeah.
They're not manual transmission gone, but they're getting there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Womp, womp, womp.
So you guys have covered this story over there at Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk.
We
but
have.
But Ram,
mm-hmm.
interesting moves.
Mm-hmm.
You were gone when I talked to Paul about the Ram Hemi being back.
Right.
So that's back, and I think that addresses some consumer concerns about a V8 being gone. But now this.
Yes.
They've extended the warranty for 2026. The warranty goes, and I have this written down because I didn't know it, from 5 years or 60,000 miles, and that's powertrain, to 10 years, 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
It's a good warranty.
It's a great warranty.
Now, that's also the Hyundai Kia warranty. And like Hyundai Kia, it's only for the first owner. So it won't extend to second owners. But here's the interesting thing about this. I think they have addressed pretty much everything that would be a barrier to a Ram buyer coming back to Ram. Because if you were afraid that the six-cylinder engines might not cut it, you can go with a Hemi V8, though it now costs more. Or you can go with the six, get the more power, get the better fuel economy, and now get a warranty on it that's going to last a long time.
Right.
So I think this may solve a lot of problems for them.
Yeah. You know, and I would go on over to pickuptrucktalk.com because my boss has covered this extensively in terms of like the warranty. There's YouTube videos. He's got a story. And the comments have been very interesting.
Shoot me the ones you want me to share.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
And we'll share those in the show notes. Oh, the other thing that they've covered too, sort of, is price, because we've talked about the Ram Classic, which was actually a previous generation Ram that was just sort of snuck into showrooms that people could afford.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It was, maybe. But the Ram Express kicks in soon too.
Yeah.
And that's basically a high feature, low base price version of the Ram.
Yeah.
With a lot of exterior chrome, so it doesn't look cheap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the interesting thing about pickup trucks these days, the average price of a pickup truck is $60,000.
Pickup trucks do distort the notion of an average transaction price.
Right. I mean, the average transaction price, I think, for a new vehicle is $48,000.
It's sneaking over $50,000 now.
Yeah, but for a pickup truck, it's $60,000.
Yeah. And the other part of that, too, a transaction price is interesting because there's a lot of dealer-installed accessories that go on those things. And then more accessories after people leave the dealer.
Yeah.
So they're paying $60,000 for the thing. They're going to throw another $5,000 of stuff on there.
At least.
Funny story about that. I had a friend when I went to Fremd High School a long time ago. She got married, moved to Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
Married a guy from Holland, Michigan. This guy and all his friends all had seriously jacked up three-quarter ton trucks. Like, these were their trucks. And they spent money on them, and they loved them, and they cared for them. This is what they did in the winter. They put them away. They had winter beaters.
They were the kept cars.
They don't drive their lifted all-wheel drive trucks in the winter.
Yeah.
When you need them in Holland, Michigan.
Nope. They're too pretty for that.
I guess so. There is a sort of what's the point thing then. Like, if you have something like that, isn't it like conquering snow kind of? Like, doesn't every Subaru owner feel better when there's a blizzard?
Yes. I would say yes. Yes.
My wife does.
Yeah.
Like her Crosstrek, it kills it in the snow. It's really good. And you just feel really good about that decision. The 6, 7, 8 days of winter when all hell breaks loose.
Right.
The opposite of today.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about that electric vehicle you drove.
Yeah. So I was in the Cadillac Optic.
Yeah. That's new.
It is new for this year. It is all electric. It is like the entry Cadillac. Small, beneath the Lyriq, which we have both driven. And to me, it looks a lot like the Lyriq. It operates a lot like the Lyriq. It has really
Do you have it here?
I do. Oh, wait, no, I don't. I'm sorry. I turned it in this morning.
All right.
So they gave it to me on Wednesday, and I had it for like the weekend, and then they took it back.
My weeks have been weird like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I do. Wait, no, I don't. I have a Subaru now. But a Subaru hybrid.
Oh, hope it snows.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it'll snow tomorrow. But no, so the Optic, I found it to be very comfortable. I drove to Indianapolis and back, and I would say this is probably the first electric vehicle I've driven to my mom's that I haven't had severe anxiety over. The Google built-in system is really good, so you plug in the address where you're going, and it'll tell you what your battery life will be, or your battery percentage will be when you get to your destination. And it is conservative. So it said I would have 31% of my battery life when I got to Indianapolis. I had 36.
That's nice. And that feels about right. If you left with a full charge, because the range on this vehicle, I think all just optics are all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
They're 301 or 304.
Yeah, it's just over 300.
Yeah. So that 100 left feels about right.
Yeah. And it was super accurate. I went the speed limit.
Okay. So here's an interesting point, too. When you drove down there, it was already pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
So the range was not affected by the heat, but charging was.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to charging later. Talk about the car.
Yeah. So I was just really impressed. And I got to Indianapolis with 110 or 111 miles of range left.
Nice.
I drove the speed limit. So usually when I have an electric vehicle, I'm trying to conserve as much battery as possible. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to drive 65 miles an hour in a 70 mile per hour zone.
That is one of the great curses of electric vehicles, is that the faster you go. And this is true in crossovers, and it's an aerodynamic thing, but it is especially pronounced in EVs.
Yeah.
The difference between 70 and 65
huge
is ugly, and 75.
It's maybe making it to your destination or not.
It is, yeah.
but once I got to Lafayette and I saw that I still had oodles and oodles of range left, I was like, ooh, I can go 75 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. And again, still got to Indianapolis with 112, 13 miles of range.
So this is the new small Cadillac. The XT4, the gasoline-powered crossover, has been discontinued.
Yeah.
So this is it. This is the anchor.
Yeah.
The anchor of the Cadillac lineup now, and it happens to be an EV.
Yeah. And I it was comfortable. The seats are good. The materials and the fit and finish is really nice. And I'm going to try and be quick here because I know you don't like it when I go deep dive into technology. But the Google built-in operating system is really good. But
if people don't know exactly what that is,
It's an Android-based operating system. It includes Google Maps, Google Assistant. So you can say, hey, Google, and then, you know, navigate to, and it will automatically populate your navigation.
And this car does not have CarPlay.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
So
I know the Chevys don't. I wasn't clear on the Cadillacs.
None of the General Motors electric vehicles now have Apple CarPlay, or they do not have Apple CarPlay. And so I was like, okay, this is good. This is going to be time for me to take a road trip and do the things that I do on a road trip and see if this Google operating system is sufficient for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
And
you listen to bad music?
No, I listen to podcasts.
Oh.
No music.
Did you listen to our podcast?
No, I didn't.
You totally do that.
I know. I did
First
not.
Of all, I'm hilarious.
Are you?
Yeah, you don't really know that until you listen to the podcast.
I don't know. I think I would find you less funny. So I do have to tell you, I'm going to do a little sidebar here.
Uh-huh.
My mom talks about you every time I go visit. How
That's
is Tom?
Nice.
Is Tom
That's
okay?
Nice.
And then she has to tell the story. This is 12 years ago. I had just broken up with a boyfriend and we were in the Thanksgiving Day parade and driving, and I was driving the WGN float, and Bozo was on my float.
I met Bozo.
Yeah. So I had my picture taken with Bozo and posted the photo. And you're like, Jill, I didn't realize you were dating again. He's such a clown. And my mom tells this story every time.
I'm
so
hilarious.
She thinks you're very funny.
You know who I met that? I think at that particular, because Stellantis, then Fiat Chrysler, used to host the parade. They sponsored the parade. And they would get local journalists to drive mostly Jeeps and Durangos to tow the floats.
Yeah.
And I met Tom Skilling.
Yes.
America's weatherman.
He's great.
Nice
I met
guy.
Him too. Yeah.
I've met him a couple of times. I'm sure he doesn't remember me, but
Tom.
I can say I met Tom Skilling.
Yes. But back to the no Apple CarPlay thing.
That was a sidebar.
It was a very big sidebar.
Way.
I had to tell the story to verify the fact that you are funny.
Hi, Mom.
She says hello.
My mom also listens.
Hi, Mom. No Apple CarPlay. So I listen to podcasts. I like to do voice to text when I'm driving because I'm telling my mom that I'm, you know, in Lafayette.
Because you're writing a novel.
Away. And, well, you know, I'd like to give her the heads up of where I'm at, when I'm going to arrive, that kind of stuff. And I like to catch up on my voicemails. I currently have 13 voicemail messages that I have not listened to.
Oh.
And the reason for that is because no Apple CarPlay in the Cadillac Optic. And there's no easy way to listen to voicemails without picking up your phone. There's no easy way to send a voice to text that you intend to send without picking up your phone. And unless you have curated your podcast list before you get into the car and start driving, there's no way to listen to podcasts without picking up your phone.
Okay. Those seem like three legitimate concerns. So what are those again, just real quick?
Podcast, voice to text, and listening to voicemail messages.
Okay. So those things rendered more difficult or illegal.
Yes.
If you want to do that, any bonuses? Like what you mentioned that the range thing is great.
The range thing is great. The real-time traffic on the maps is really good. Mm-hmm. Now, Google Built-In is it will be a subscription-based feature after 8 years. So you get an 8-year free trial. If you are leasing the vehicle,
that is a strangely long trial period.
Well, they're gonna make it shorter eventually. I know it because this is a revenue stream that they are gonna be counting on in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, as they're just testing this to see if people will buy it without Apple CarPlay, which by the way I will not, they're making it free.
Well, remember Buick made the subscription not free. And I'm sure they just built it into the price of the car now, but it was a standalone option for similar system was a couple of years ago. It was $1,500 or something like that. It was ridiculously expensive. And this was, I don't think it was for Google Built-In, but it was things like expanded traffic and expanded weather and things like that. But it was very expensive. And I think you were buying 3 years in advance or something.
Yeah.
And just in a lump sum, it seemed really pricey. And that didn't last a year.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't last a model year.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the system is good. In order to fully take advantage of the system, you have to create a profile, log into your Google account, and then sync your phone, and then log into your Waze account. Like, so I enjoy using Waze when I'm driving sometimes because it shows, especially on a long-haul drive, the cops along the way.
Yeah.
And
real-time accidents.
Yeah. And the Google system is good. The maps are good. But Waze, to me, is just a little bit more specific, and you can actually give feedback more easily.
Well, Waze is user-driven.
Yeah.
I remember when it was brand new, and people in Chicago resisted it.
Oh, I didn't. I loved it.
Oh, because Hyundai introduced it in, like, a redesign of the midsize sedan. I forgot. But no one in Chicago, they were demonstrating it, and no one in Chicago was using it yet.
Yeah.
But this is more than a decade ago.
Yeah, but no, I was... but you have to log into your Google account to activate pretty much all of that stuff. And the one thing that I found that was really difficult, in addition to the fact that there was no Apple CarPlay, at one point I tried to set my destination on my phone, and I'm logged in to all of my things in the vehicle, and it wouldn't transfer from my phone to the car.
Oh, and it's supposed to do that.
Yeah, and I don't. I'm sure it was, as my husband would say, a DFU error, so I'm sure it was my fault. But I couldn't figure out how to make that work, and that irked me as well. So, if you are not tied to Apple things, this probably won't apply to you. And you don't use
not really.
Apple CarPlay.
I do illegal things.
You do illegal.
I Bluetooth connect.
Right.
But then I select everything manually from my phone. And part of that is that my stuff isn't very organized, especially my music.
Right.
It's a disaster.
I have everything in playlists. I have everything very organized.
No.
And I just, another example of where the system failed me is I was trying to send a text message to my mother and to my sister at the same time. And so I'm like, hey, Siri. So I was doing a lot. I was trying to do the voice activations, talking to my phone. And, I said, hey, Siri, send a text message to Julie Simonello and Judy Simonello, two very similar names. It sent two text messages to Julie Simonello. So it didn't include my mother in that at all.
All right. We should probably talk about the car itself.
Well, I already talked about the car itself. What else do you want to know?
Ride, handling.
I already said it was good.
Good's a little vague.
What do you want to know?
What did you drive? Trim level.
Oh, golly. I haven't looked at this. I haven't written my review yet, so I haven't looked at the
thing. I'm going to guess because it was a test car, it was a luxury, too. Do you know what the price was?
No.
So that probably came in. They're all really, the cluster in pricing is very tight. It's between 55 and 58 grand without options. So like you probably drove like a 60 grand car.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But I already said fit and finish is really good. Materials are really good.
Yeah.
I liked the accents. It's got real metal knobs and dials. I liked the large screen. I like the gauge cluster. There is one thing that people will have to get used to. Your headlights are no longer in like a physical button or a dial. They're in the infotainment screen or in the screen to the left, I guess.
Yeah,
I should say, the left
people
of the
just,
gauge cluster.
Most people leave them in automatic and never think about it.
Right. Well, in this car, if you turn them off, the next time you turn your car on, it will default to auto.
Yeah.
So,
which is nice. It's a safe thing to do.
But overall, pretty comfortable, really fast, very peppy. I liked the acceleration, the instantaneous torque that, you know, is good off the line, great for passing maneuvers. The fact that this is on the small side, it makes it really maneuverable. I have one of those super tight, small city garages that has multiple cars in it, and I back into it up a ramp, and this did really well doing
that. So how small? Will I fit in the back seat?
I fit in the back seat.
Okay. Would I fit behind me in that car?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. Just
taking a quick. I don't think so.
So we're running out of time here, and we're going to be talking with the folks at cars.com about the American Made Index in
yes.
a moment. But,
yes.
Boy, is that topical.
Yes.
But I just wanted to get to the point that Cadillac has really committed to electric.
Yeah.
And in the last year and moving forward. So you just drove the Optic,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the third. I'm not sure if it's the third or fourth Cadillac electric vehicle for sale, but there's the Vistiq, three-row, the Lyriq, two-row midsize, Celestiq, the ultra-luxury car, the Optiq you just drove,
mm-hmm.
plus two versions of the Escalade
mm-hmm.
electric. That's a lot of stuff.
It'll
be very interesting to see if Cadillac can get to a point where they're selling 50% EVs this year.
Yeah, I mean, they make a great electric vehicle.
I am interested in, fingers crossed, how successful Cadillac has been at this. Wasn't there just like one recall of the Lyriq around the time we drove it?
Yeah.
And it was a software thing.
Yeah.
And we were kind of concerned about that because there had been a massive recall of the Blazer.
Oh, yeah.
For software. Mm-hmm. And the Blazer slightly preceded the Lyriq to market.
Mm-hmm.
But it had big problems. And those vehicles are very closely related.
Yep.
So it's cool to see this happen. It seems to be ramping up pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the way to do it, like a luxury brand, making this look cool and making it work. Maybe that helps adoption.
Yeah.
All right. So Optiq, you liked it?
Yes, but.
Yes, but. All right. all right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Patrick Masterson of Cars.com about the American Made Index.
My favorite topic.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
We Are Motor Driven is like your favorite garage conversation, just with mics. Honest car talk, wild opinions, and no gatekeeping. New episodes weekly, wherever you get your podcasts. Bring snacks and buckle up.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill. And it hardly seems like it's been a year since we last talked about the American Made Index.
I know.
Like, it seems fast, although it's so relevant now.
It is.
It's crazy.
It is incredibly crazy.
All right. On the phone with us is Patrick Masterson, Chief Copy Editor for Cars.com, to tell us about the 2025 American Made Index. Patrick, how are you?
Technical difficulties.
Patrick, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're good. We have big thumbs, so we miss buttons.
Oh, me too. I know the feeling.
See, this is the 20th anniversary of the American Made Index.
Yeah, I've been going since 2006. I've been the lead researcher since 2022, but
wow.
I've been working on it since 2016. So, yeah, a few iterations too. A lot's happened in those years.
If we exclude the current kerfuffle in Washington and internationally, what is it that has impressed you most about the evolution of your findings?
I think what's impressed me most is how the methodology has evolved. I mean, when it first started, it was, shall we say, primitive.
Sure.
But everyone's got to start somewhere, right? So the way it's gotten more complex is we try to dig a little bit deeper and sort of get closer to the heart of the actual manufacturing process has been enlightening. And, you know, we hope to show some of those results and sort of pull back the curtain a little bit on U.S. auto manufacturing, because I don't think a lot of people think about how complicated building a car actually is. So this is one way to shed some light on that.
I think the answer to the question, how hard is it to build a car, is best answered by, I don't know, Fisker.
Right.
Or any EV startup. I mean, we just learned that it was really hard. And Tesla, too. Tesla struggled mightily to get where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building cars now, and they're building them at a profit. But that was a rough ride for them. And we've learned that that's difficult. So when you guys talk about something being American-made, tell us what you mean.
Yeah, so there are five factors that we measure to try and dig a little bit deeper in terms of what it means to be American, American-made, that is.
Uh-huh.
So the first one is the most obvious. That's location of final assembly. So if a car isn't finished here, it doesn't make the list, doesn't qualify.
It's okay.
Pretty simple binary. But then we dig a little bit deeper than that because that doesn't tell the full story. So we also look at U.S. and Canadian parts content percentages. We look at country of origins for both available engines and transmissions. And then we also look at a manufacturing workforce score relative to the automaker's footprint. So it's just a way to account for the people who are actually building the product.
Okay.
And all of this information is publicly available, by the way. You can find it on a window sticker when you go to a dealership for any car that isn't yet sold.
And real quick question for you. So you guys include U.S. and Canadian content together, but not Mexican content, though Mexico is part of what was NAFTA and then the USMCA. Why don't you guys include Mexico?
Yeah, good question. So that would be one for actually the government. That's the way they drew up the legislation in 1994. So
okay.
They combine that under one percentage. We don't have a way of splitting that out, at least
gotcha.
Not right now. But that's a legal mandate.
And I'm guessing that now that we're dealing with the tariffs, your phone's been ringing off the hook. Has the tariff situation brought an all new importance to this list?
Oh, I would. I have been much busier this year than I typically am. But you know, it's a good thing, not just for cars.com, but for me too. It keeps me out of trouble. but yeah, I mean, yes. When we talk about tariffs, obviously they've been in the headlines quite a bit this spring. But I should say that the 2025 American-made index not actually affected by the tariffs,
right.
In part because we do our data collection basically between April and May. And the tariffs only went into effect in April. So we didn't really start to see the effects of, you know, that
okay.
How that changes manufacturing. Probably next year's index will look a little bit different. We'll have more to talk about as a result of the tariffs. But for this year, at least, we kind of just missed the window on that.
Gotcha. And real quick, then, would you like to walk us down at least the top 10 or top 20 on the list?
Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to.
Yeah.
So the top four are swept by Tesla.
Wow.
You'll notice the Cybertruck is not there. That's because we disqualify heavy-duty vehicles, which technically that's a heavy-duty pickup, which is kind of weird to think about. But
yeah.
As a result, so that's what's missing. But the rest of their lineup, the Model 3, Y, S, and X, no strangers to the top of the index, actually. They've swept before, and this year the really critical component was the manufacturing workforce score, actually, is what put them over the top. So the Model 3 is really interesting because that was the worst performing of the four Teslas in 2024, but they did a redesign, and the domestic parts content percentage is much higher this year. It's about 75%, depending on your variant, and that's what launched to the top. So that's Tesla. The biggest surprise for me, actually, on the entire index is the Kia EV6.
Yeah.
So the reason it's not a surprise that it appeared. We knew it was going to be somewhere on the ranking because they build that in West Point, Georgia. They moved that production. But what's surprising is that it has the highest domestic parts content percentage of any vehicle on the list. And actually, it's the highest domestic parts content percentage that I can remember in my years of doing this at 80%.
Wow.
Typically, if you're between 65 and 75, you're at the sharp end. But broaching 80 is that's exceedingly rare. Hasn't happened, like I said, as long as I've been doing this. So that's why it landed at number five.
So why didn't it rate higher then?
Great question. Yeah, so that's down to the manufacturing workforce score, actually. So all of its components, that is to say the drive motors and drive units, all made in the U.S., but Kia's workforce score was lower than Tesla's. So what that means is Tesla has more people building a single car than any other manufacturer, so they get a maximum score for that particular category. Everyone else is calculated off of Tesla.
Hmm.
So it's it's a little bit difficult, and that's probably the most opaque part of the index, actually, because we do, you know, I mean, there's only so far we can dig into where the money is going from those employees, you know, but we do try to dig down to cut out, for example, the C-suite and, you know, R&D, marketing. Sure. Those departments are not factored into that manufacturing workforce score. It's just the people building the cars at the plants. So that's as deep as we can go with it, for now at least. So that's why Kia is not number one, although it was, I mean, we're talking fractions of a point. It was really close. On our scale is 100 points. I should clarify that, too. So, yeah, it's really tight at the top. I mean, same thing with the Jeep Gladiator right in there with 74% domestic parts content. That's your top pickup truck right there. So,
knocked Honda Ridgeline off the top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, which, again, Honda, a consistent presence on the index for very nearly 20 years, actually. They've always had a presence, particularly with the Odyssey. But the Ridgeline, Passport, Pilot, no surprises there. All made in Lincoln, Alabama, too. And then Acura, too. Every Acura you buy, actually, almost every Acura you buy for model year 2025 is made in Ohio. The ADX is one exception. That's made in Mexico. But every other Acura that you purchase here is made here. And then the ID4, Volkswagen. So last year it was number 3. This year it's number 10. It's not so much that the ID4 is less American this year. It's just that those other vehicles stepped up their game, basically.
Interesting thing about the EVs here, the EV6, and we didn't talk about the IONIQ 5, but and the Volkswagen ID4. These were all vehicles that were initially, when they were launched, built outside of the country. So this is actually manufacturing that got pulled in really in the last year or two, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And actually, this is the first time that we've had more EVs in the top 10 than internal combustion engine vehicles.
Oh, interesting.
So, and it's more EVs than we've ever had on the index overall. And electrified vehicles, speaking more broadly, too. There are a bunch of hybrids on the list. So the powertrain diversity is stronger than it's ever been. Now, granted, gas engine vehicles still the dominant force overwhelmingly. But you are starting to see the tide, you know, that we've been talking about in the industry for several years now. You know, keep waiting for this huge wave of electrified vehicles to hit. It's not all happening the way we thought it was going to, but it is slowly happening.
Yeah.
It is actually manifesting.
So quick question for you. On the list at number 19, we have the Chevrolet Colorado. Is that the second pickup truck on the list, I think?
The Ridgeline was the second pickup truck.
Ridgeline, okay. Yeah.
And then we have the Canyon is way down on the list at number 42. Those vehicles are pretty similar. How do you guys account for the difference?
Yeah, so the Canyon, well, you would think they were identical.
I would.
That's not actually the case.
Okay.
So with the Canyon, it's the domestic parts content is 36%. With the Colorado, it is 49%.
Interesting.
So there's a significant difference. And actually, you know, calling out GM on this too, another good example of a separation for vehicles that you wouldn't think would be is the Silverado 1500 and the Sierra 1500 from Chevrolet and GMC respectively. So what's interesting about those trucks are, again, you're thinking pretty much the same.
Right.
But their strategy in terms of how they're producing them are slightly different. You can buy a Silverado from one of three countries, actually. So they do make them in Roanoke, Indiana. But you can also get a Silverado from Mexico or Canada. With the Sierra, it's only made in Roanoke, Indiana, and Mexico.
So, interesting.
Yeah, so not as close as you would think.
Wow, that's really cool. And then you've got the Corolla Cross Hybrid specifically on here in 18th place. Why does the hybrid rank higher than the regular Corolla Cross?
Yeah, so the Corolla Cross Hybrid has 50% domestic parts content percentage. And let me double check.
As you scroll through the data.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry. I should have been more ready
no worries.
For that. So
we're throwing you curveballs. We're trying to test your knowledge and your memory.
Yeah, I need it. I needed that.
We all need it.
So what's really interesting about the Corolla Cross, okay, yes, it has a higher domestic parts content percentage, but actually the engine and transmission, different situation. So the Corolla Cross Hybrid has engines and transmissions only made from the U.S. Mm-hmm. With the Corolla Cross, you can get an engine from the U.S. or Brazil, and the CVT is from Japan. So it gets docked for both of those breakouts. Yeah.
These are the things where you cannot... I had this question in my head. I wrote it down. I'm like, I'm going to ask Patrick this. I had no clue what the answer was going to be. And there it is.
Yeah.
A crazy answer.
Pretty cut and dried, though, too.
No, it makes perfect sense.
It's really interesting because, you know, if you're not looking at all the window stickers, which is one reason that I go out and do this, is to, you know, confirm what automakers file to the government, is I'm actually out on dealership lots for about 2 weeks. And you know, rain or shine, trying to get this information confirmed, I take it back to the automakers and they go, well, here's why this says this. You know, usually I'm not trying to throw them curveballs. You know, I'm trying to get to the bottom of where these vehicles are actually made, and particularly with engines and transmissions, those are really expensive and labor-intensive components. That's why they're broken out on the window sticker. So digging a little bit deeper, you can't just look at the badge on the hood to assume where something is from, you know.
So we're running out of time here, Patrick, but I've got one more quick question. Towards the bottom of your list, really the bottom few cars on the list, are the Mercedes-Benz products. And I was wondering what the deal was. Mercedes has that sprawling plant in Alabama. Do they import powertrains, or what is it that brings them down further on the list?
Yeah, so it's a combination of things. Again, going back to the domestic parts content percentage, that's the category that we weight most heavily, aside from, you know, the binary of whether or not it's built here.
Mm-hmm.
All of those vehicles, the SUVs, 10% for this year, which is pretty low. But also, as you correctly point out, the powertrains, both engines and transmissions, are not finished in the U.S.
Okay.
So for the GLE 450E specifically, that engine's from Poland. As far as all the transmission goes, those are all German, regardless of what kind of variant of EQE or GLE you're getting. They're all from Germany. So that docks you. So you don't get points in those categories.
All right. Patrick, if people want to learn more about this, I've got cars.com, American-made-index/. Does that sound right?
Oh, you can make it much easier than that, even. It's cars.com/AMI. That's what you need.
Well, where's this?
We like easy.
Where did I get this?
We shortened it this year.
Okay.
We shortened it.
I don't know where I got this. I cut and paste this from somewhere. So AMI, that's excellent.
Yeah, it redirects, by the way. So you could put that link in as well, but it's just easier to remember. It's easier for me to remember AMI, actually.
Right, right.
Well, Patrick, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right, that was Patrick Masterson, chief copy editor at Cars.com with the 2025 American-Made Index. Super fascinating and more relevant than ever.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of the Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit GreenSenseShow.com or listen to the Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Jill, you have dabbled in social media.
I have. I've dabbled. I'm a dabbler.
All right. That's all really I need to know.
Okay.
All right. How do you dabble?
I dabble. I more than dabble.
Do you dabble?
I that sounds like it should be a dance move, a dabble.
Yeah.
A little dabble, do you? I don't know. At any rate, I Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. I am on all of the things at Jill Simonello, and I use the hashtag Cardashore.
Did you know that Blue Sky is actually pronounced Blusky?
I don't believe you.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But you know what, Tom? You did not bring up your social media.
Yeah, Car Guy Tom.
Yeah.
Blue Sky, Twitter, X, and then I'm just Tom Appel on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, we usually talk about that in the second segment. You skipped right over it because you were anxious to talk about the AMI.
I was. Real quick, though, I join Nick DiGilio podcast, the Nick DiGilio, the Nick D podcast, later this week.
Okay.
So that drops like Tuesday, midday, something like that.
Okay.
So check that out. I don't know what we're talking about yet because we haven't recorded it yet.
Got it. So coming soon to your social media sphere.
All right. This is episode 280. Is there any feng shui there?
No.
We've got 20 weeks to plan our 300th episode.
Okay.
We should try to get Damon back and maybe see if...
So what? We have what, 20 weeks. So that's like a half year, 6 months-ish?
It's this year.
Is it?
It's this year.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to get Jennifer Newman back. She was on our first episode.
She was our first, first episode.
And that's one of our most popular episodes. We need to update that one because that was about child safety seats.
Oh, yeah.
And there's probably new stuff to talk about there.
Yeah. And I feel like I missed that first episode because I was hopping on a plane.
You were.
I think I stopped in and said hi and then left.
And ironically, you fit in a child safety seat.
I probably do actually fit. I definitely fit in a booster seat.
All right. Today's topic, are you ready?
Yes.
Today's topic is CRV, hybrid or not.
Interesting.
It's more interesting than you think. Toyota and Honda have this habit of naming trim levels specific to hybrid or not hybrid.
Yeah.
There are six CRV trim levels.
Okay.
Three of which are hybrid, three of which are not.
Okay.
And the CRV, blazing hot, selling well.
Yeah. You know, so where I'm going tomorrow is to drive the CRV Trail Sport.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that is the...
off-roady version.
Is there a Trail Sport Pilot?
Pretty... I think so. So I know there's a Passport.
Yeah, Passport was the first.
Yeah, and there's a Ridgeline because I just drove that.
Oh, there's a Ridgeline. Okay, so they'll... Okay. They hit Trail Sport, big deal.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're kind of fun.
Yeah, and they've got that pretty blue color. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like Trail Sport specific.
All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Honda, doing stuff. Honda CR-V, hybrid or not, I'm just going to give you a trim level. You just tell me if that's the hybrid trim level or the gasoline conventional.
Okay.
Are you ready? LX.
I'm going to say conventional.
Yes, you're on the board.
Okay.
Very nice. LX is one of those trim levels that goes back decades. They've been using that one forever.
Well, and
it used to be a mid-level.
Yeah, and I feel like Honda's not the only one that uses LX as a trim level. It's annoying.
There's no way they've got that.
Yeah.
They've got that protected. Mm-mm. Sport.
I'm going to say hybrid.
Yes, you're doing well today.
Wow.
We didn't talk about the rules, but you're in a good place. You need three total to win. There's five questions plus the bonus question. Bonus question, always related to the topic of the day.
And that topic of the day could be something we haven't actually talked about.
But it's related.
Okay.
Sport touring.
I'm going to say hybrid.
You've won.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Wow.
Very nice
okay.
job. All right. EX.
I want to say conventional because I feel like the hybrid is like EXL or something like that, hybrid, but I'm going to say conventional.
You were correct. You were on a roll.
Wow.
I don't know how well you're going to do on the bonus question, but you could sweep. and finally, EXL.
I think that's a hybrid. Oh, you're giving me a look.
No, I'm not.
You are. You gave me a look.
No.
The video captured it.
Oh, yeah.
You gave me a look. Do I need to rethink that? Oh, I know that EX...
It's your winning streak.
I know. EX... Yeah. Well, but I've already won. So, I know EXL is a more upgraded version of the EX.
I remember when EXL meant leather. It was EX with leather. That's where the whole L thing came from.
I didn't know that.
That goes way back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But the question is the EXL just an upgraded version of the conventional, or is it the hybrid version? I'm going to say hybrid. I'm sticking with it.
No.
Okay.
Here's the thing about
this. I should have adhered to your look.
Way back when, There used to be a base model on Civics and sometimes on Accords mm-hmm. that were DX. And then they moved up, and LX, which was a mid-tri-level, became the base. But LX, EX, and EXL are conventional.
Okay.
And then Sport, the word Sport, is in all the hybrids. So Sport, Sport L, and Sport Touring.
Okay.
And, I remember Honda used to add, like, a premium trim level late in the model year to clear stuff out. Hmm. It was often called, like, LXI. It was like an I. Sometimes it was hyphen I. But whatever. Interesting fun fact, and I put it down here because I'd already printed this out. Half, now fully half of CR-Vs are hybrids.
I really like the CR-V hybrid.
Yeah, and then 30% of all Hondas are hybrids.
Interesting.
So they're rivaling Toyota for this hybrid crown.
So what's interesting, though, is Toyota just revealed its new RAV4 mm-hmm. that is going to be hybrid only.
Which tips the scales.
Yeah.
That's a 500,000 unit a year vehicle. In a 16 million unit market, that's a huge number of vehicles.
Yeah.
So they did Camry, mm-hmm. which is darn near 300,000 units, mm-hmm. and then the RAV4. So you throw in the Sienna, they're got to be really close to a million hybrids next year.
Do you know, because I know you keep better track of the sales numbers than I do, have you seen if Camry sales numbers are holding steady?
I actually checked specifically this.
Okay.
And it does seem like they are.
Interesting.
It does not seem like people are put off by the fact that it's hybrid only.
Okay.
It's hard to tell. First quarter sales are weird.
Yeah.
It's always hard to tell.
Well, and first quarter sales this year were really weird.
Really
because
weird.
People were trying to beat the tariffs.
Yeah. But it looks like they are not going to take a hit for that.
Okay.
They didn't raise the price much.
No.
So like less than $2,000. And you get that back pretty quick with fuel savings. All right. Topic of the day. You were paying attention to this earlier when we were talking about British supergroup Blind Faith.
Yeah. Totally paying attention to everything music related, which we did not talk about, by the way.
Blind Faith. One album.
Uh-huh.
The eponymous Blind Faith from 1969. And then everyone moved on. One big hit called Can't Find My Way Home. I just need you to tell me which of the following four people was not a member of Blind Faith.
Great.
Are you ready?
Sure.
This one's easy.
No, it's not.
Mel Blanc.
Okay.
Steve Winwood.
Uh-huh.
Eric Clapton. Ginger Baker.
The only person on this list I've heard of is Eric Clapton.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Steve Winwood became super annoying in the 80s. And he had, I don't know if it was the album or the song called Ark of the Diver. You could not turn, like if it was playing on the radio and you tried to turn it off, it still played. Like it was the most annoying, endlessly played song in the world. So I have a very bitter taste in my mouth as a result of Steve Winwood and his 80s popularity.
Okay. Got nothing there.
Mel Blanc, Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker.
I'm going to go with Eric Clapton.
Was not a member of Blind Faith?
Correct.
He was.
Okay.
As was Ginger Baker.
Okay.
Ginger Baker was like the world's first superstar drummer.
Okay.
And he used to hang around in like Nigeria, play with guys like Fela Kuti. He was super into percussion.
Did he have red hair?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Steve Winwood, we talked about him. Mel Blanc was the voice of Barney on the Flintstones.
Got it. Yeah, so, no, nothing. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got. You wanted to talk. Oh, we have time.
We do have time.
You wanted to talk about something. This isn't scheduled. We're unprepared.
We are unprepared.
But you wanted to talk about technology and older drivers?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an older driver.
You are. You are very aged. I consider myself pretty hip to technology, and there are some vehicles that I have problems with and, you know, try to make things work and read the manual.
Well, you're not young anymore.
I am.
You know what? I have to get to something real quick because we're gonna do this topic.
Okay.
But I have a one-line thing here in my notes that says, AC and the Mazda CX-30 kicks ass. Thank you, Mazda. All right.
Okay.
And then I just drove the Chevy Equinox here. That's also good AC.
Yeah, and so that's actually the vehicle specifically that I kind of wanted to talk about.
All right. Well, that was a good segue.
It was a good segue.
People think I was being rude to you by cutting you off.
Rude, actually.
But in fact.
Uh-huh. You were segueing. My mom's neighbor just bought leased an Equinox. She'd had, I want to say it was like a 2023 Equinox, and her lease was up. And so it was either 2022 or 23. and her lease was up.
And she's into the redesigned 25.
Exactly. Okay. And so she went in and she wanted to just extend the lease on her current car, and they wouldn't let her do it. So they forced her into a new lease with an all-new car. And, you know, the guy at the dealership, to be fair.
I wonder why.
I know, right? Because she probably only had like 500 miles on her car.
Maybe. Maybe it was just a sweet used car.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Because she's literally the grandma that's driving to and from church, and that's about it. But she gets forced into this car, and she... you know, the dealer did sit down with her and said, you know, blah, 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 are you good? And she was like, yeah. And she drives away. And as she's driving away, she realized she doesn't know how to turn on the air conditioning. She can't figure out where her headlights are. You know, she is like, and then she is starting to freak out. Like, she's not far from the dealer a lot.
Could she find the gear selector?
And then she's not even used to the gear selector.
Yeah.
Because it's different. And so...
For people who don't know, it's on the steering column.
It is. And it's not like an old school steering column. You have to like push it forward to move it up or down.
Yeah, like BMW or Mercedes.
Yes.
Or Rolls Royce.
Yeah, kind of like that. And so she gets home and she's now afraid to drive the car. She talks to my mom. And my mom's like, you need to talk to Jill. Jill will come and talk to you. She'll sit down. She'll go through everything. And, you know, and her neighbor was just like, well, you know, I don't want to bother. And I'm like.
That was absolutely the dealer's job.
And I'm like, Carla, this is literally what I do for a living. So I went over and I spent probably an hour with her on Saturday. And
did she slip you a 20?
She offered to buy me lunch and I told her no.
Because old ladies will slip you 20s for stuff like that.
But I literally sat with her and was just like, okay, what do you want to know? She's like, everything. And I said, okay, let's go through the buttons. And so I kind of went step by step, like, this is what this does. This is what this
does. Did you show her how to listen to our podcast?
I didn't. I will have to. Well, I told her if she has more questions, I will come back over because I'm heading back to my mom's this weekend. And I'm like, and I will spend more time with you. But the point I'm trying to make is technology today, like if you haven't had a new vehicle for a few years, it is over the top. And, you know, the headlights for this car are in the infotainment screen. And the, you know, the controls for the HVAC, thankfully, they're still hard controls. But there's a lot of things that are embedded in the infotainment screen that are a little bit difficult to navigate to. And so it's funny. So I spend an hour with her.
If you're old, don't buy a Volvo.
Or a Volkswagen. But I go through it with her. And then one of the things I like to do is like, okay, now how do you turn your air on? You know, like I go back and I'm just like, we went over this and it was at the beginning. How do you turn the air on? And she like looked at me and she was like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, let's go over this again. But so I really think that there are going to be some people who are left behind in this technology. And, you know, it's going to be certainly your older people, but you know, the safer vehicles for newer models, which you want somebody who's older to be in. But I'm just really concerned about how like leaps and bounds forward technology is moving so quickly.
Do you remember the introduction of my Ford Touch and my those systems were forcing voice commands onto us a little bit hastily, and the voice recognition systems weren't as good as they are now, and in fact they didn't work for me at all. I guess I'm just dull and monotone, but they they work fine now.
You're funny.
I am, which doesn't really help you with connectivity.
No.
But it got to the point where Ford started paying its dealers to give people tutorials on these systems. And it was like $50 a head.
Yeah.
So the salesman who delivered the car was supposed to sit you down in the car and spend an hour with you in the car.
Yeah.
And make sure you were comfortable with anything, everything. But that should happen anyway.
I agree. It should happen anyway. And I mean, I think she just didn't know the questions to ask until she started driving it. And then she was like, ah.
Technically, we are supposed to get tutorials with every vehicle we receive. and yeah, well, we don't want to talk too much about that.
No.
But to a person, I think we all like wave that off.
Well, I will say there was one vehicle that shall remain nameless and the fleet manager that will also remain nameless. So they delivered me the car and the person had just started. It was like their first day. And they're like, I don't know how to turn the car on. I don't know how to turn it off. And I don't know how to lock it or unlock it. Here's the key. Bye. And I was like, oh, that's a great introduction.
We had a guy from General Motors. His name was Fred. And he delivered to Consumer Guide. When we were a much bigger organization, our first ever Chevrolet Volt.
Okay.
And that guy spent 90 minutes, 2 hours walking us around that vehicle. Super informed. Like, it was the best presentation ever. Answered every question. Like, wow, I don't have that kind of time for every vehicle. But sometimes, like the Volt, it's good to know.
When you have something that is so crazy new or different, it is very helpful. And, you know, that's why I like going to First Drive events, because you kind of get that walk around and individual attention on a vehicle. And, you know, I haven't been on a First Drive event for like Mercedes, BMW, like some of the German automakers for years. And so I feel a little bit behind on the tech in those vehicles. And it takes me much longer to figure things out. And, you know, the manuals are all online, and, you know, and so it's just, I value the tutorials.
It had been more than a year, maybe a year and a half, since I had driven a Mercedes and I got into the S-Class EV. And that was an eye opener. Like, first of all, there is vast acres of touchscreen.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, we're running out of time. What do you think is the solution to the problem related to your mom's friend?
Well, I think that the dealers definitely do need to do more in-depth tutorials, and not just, well, do you have any questions? Well, of course she doesn't have questions. She hasn't driven it yet.
Yeah. You don't know the questions until you've seen the problem.
I think perhaps the solution is, okay, you bought the car, drive it home. Let's schedule a lunch in a week. I will buy you lunch because you bought this car, and we will go over your questions.
Well, that's a great idea. Or schedule multiple people, because then you can learn from other people's questions.
Yeah, and do like a lunch and learn and have like sandwiches or something to like answer questions and go over the car more in depth once people have had the chance to drive it.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. Guess what we did?
I think we had some really good conversations today.
We did. Thank you to Patrick Masterson of Cars.com. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.